Napoleonic era, Napoleon in exile, 1815 to 1821. Napoleon arrives in England. In England, Englishmen were devouring newspaper accounts of Napoleon's surrender and speculated about his probable fate. But just where was he? On July the 24th, 1815, Napoleon arrived off Dartmouth. Napoleon had been up and out on the poop deck at 4:30 a.m., looking at the green hills that undulated northward from the clean, clear, cliff-lined coast. The HMS Bellerophon and the HMS Myrmidon rounded Berry Head and entered Torbay around 6 a.m. The nearly semicircular bay, which was about 3.5 miles long and about 4 miles wide at its entrance, presented a panorama of blue waters with tawny pebble beaches and washed against low red sandstone bluffs. The Bry was dotted with brightly painted red sailed trawlers, but more important to the French was the site of the HMS Slaney, lying at anchor, which meant that Baron Gourgaud had arrived. Remember, he had been sent out before Napoleon left with letters for the British government. While the Bellerophon moved towards its anchorage, Captain Maitland's first lieutenant, Andrew Mott, and Lieutenant Fletcher of the HMS Superb went ashore with letters for Admiral Keith in Plymouth and John Wilson Carter, the first secretary of the Admiralty in London. Maitland spent in communication with his superiors is all about his uncertainty about the official judgment of his conduct. Yes, Admiral Hotham had approved, but he was not the Lord Commissioner of the Admiralty or the Commander-in-Chief of the Channel Fleet. Captain Maitland expected to be congratulated for securing Napoleon, but he could only assume that would be forthcoming. Lieutenant Fletcher was sent to London with, first of all, Admiral Hotham's dispatches for the Admiralty, and Maitland's report of his arrival in Torbay. Also a list of who is in Napoleon's suite. A copy of a letter that Lieutenant Mott was carrying, along with a report of Maitland's arrival to Admiral Keith. The letter written on July the 18th added information to the dispatch he had sent out on July the 14th, explaining the circumstances in which he was placed when induced to receive Napoleon on board his ship. At 7 a.m., the HMS Bellerophon anchored less than a mile from Brixham Quay. The ship had barely finished swinging her cable around when an officer from the schooner that Admiral Keith had sent out the day before came on board. He delivered to Captain Maitland orders and a letter dated July the 23rd. Now the orders, first of all, this dispatch of July the 14th had been delivered and had been forwarded by Keith to the Admiralty. And of course he was to remain in Torbay until further orders. He was not to have any communications with the shore, and he was to prevent anyone from coming on board for any purpose. Now, they would move Gourgaud from HMS Slaney to the Bellerophon. So they're going to move Napoleon's first messenger, and he'll come on board, which will be pretty good. Now, the letter was different. The letter from Admiral Keith was a much more personal tone. "You will perceive from the newspapers," he wrote, "that the intelligence had reached London before Captain Sartorius. I have a letter from Lord Melville today, enforcing in the strongest manner the formal orders, even that no person, myself or Sir John Duckworth excepted, shall be suffered to come on board the ship till orders are sent from the government, which you will be so good as to strictly comply with. Let him and his want for nothing, and send to me for anything Brixham cannot furnish. I will send it to you by a small vessel. You may say to Napoleon that I am under the greatest personal obligations to him for his attention to my nephew." Now, his nephew was James Drummond Elphinstone, a captain of the 7th Hussars, who was gravely wounded and taken prisoner by the French during the fighting on June the 17th, 1815. Now, who was taken and brought before Napoleon at Belle Alliance, and who must have died if Napoleon had not ordered a surgeon to dress him immediately and then send him to a hut. I am glad it, the taking of Napoleon, fell into your hands at this time. Well, the letter did not allay any of Captain Maitland's concerns. Captain Maitland informed Napoleon of Keith's message to him, and Napoleon, who remembered the incident, referred to the way to it in a very gratified manner, hoping that Keith's warm sentiments augured well for the future. So we are now at least in England. But there's going to be some news coming from Gorgod that's not going to be very positive, because they never let him leave the Slaney. And that's where we'll be heading next. But it's interesting to see the shuffle. I will eventually take you in and give you the background of what is going on in the English government, because they're trying to figure out what to do, how to legally defend themselves from some of the things that are in Napoleon's letter that he'd written to them about, you know, throwing himself on their mercy and things like this. And ultimately then the decision to send him to St. Helena. So that's going to be rather intense. We have a couple of more rounds of some of the simple stuff here, and then we'll get into this intense section. Now, the sources for this, the 50 Days of Napoleon in England by Duhamel, Napoleon After Waterloo by Thornton, and Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you'd like to support us, please feel free to subscribe. Thank you very much.